It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Jackson, Kevin, and Christian are all in Studio A. Special guest Owen Pulley is joining us, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
It's good to finally heal that intro once again as the Sports Spotlight is back here on Indy's Giant 90.9. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. It's been a while. I'm your host, Jackson White, and joining alongside me is Kevin Gleva, and we have a good one here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And now joining us is Vice President of the ISC Sports Network, the voice of the Indy 11, and the post-game host for the Colts Radio Network, Greg Regstraw. Welcome to the Sports Spotlight.
Good morning or good afternoon, fellas. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, it's a good one to be back. I'm Jackson White here with Kevin Gleva. And one big thing that happened over the weekend was the Colts had a primetime game this Sunday night. They got a big win, 30-18 in a monsoon versus the 49ers. I mean, the Colts looked a little bit, you could say, not scrappy. I mean, they were scrappy, but there was mistakes. But I think this was a big step in the right direction for the Colts this Sunday night.
Well, they absolutely had to have the victory. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was just one of those games where if you look at the schedule and you get in a 2-4 hole, you say, okay, how many wins is it going to take to be a playoff team? You know, there's catching Tennessee, which this week goes a long way towards doing. But then there is, okay, if we can't catch the Titans, how many games is it going to take to be able to be a playoff team? And likely that would be 10 wins. Last year it was 11 in a 16-game schedule, but let's just say 10. So going into that game, you know, 8-3 is kind of what you needed to go. And let's face it, you've got games against Tennessee, you've got games against Buffalo, you've got games against the Bucs, you've got a game at the last unbeaten football team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals. And now the Colts are going to, you know, obviously try to win every game they play, but big picture, they've got about a third of their games against some of the best teams in the NFL. They've got about a third of their games against some of the worst teams in the NFL, that being the Jets, Jaguars, and Texans. This was one of those games against kind of a swing team. You know, one of the teams in a similar predicament as the Colts and the Niners. You know, the Patriots, you know, would kind of be in that mix when they play them in December. The Raiders are kind of in that mix, even though I think they're 5-2 at this point when the Colts play them on January the 2nd. So this is a game I felt the Colts had to have. And in conditions the way that they were, mistakes were going to happen. You hated the fact that Jonathan Taylor fumbled on the first play, but clearly that kind of caught back up, and the turnover battle was won by the Indianapolis Colts, which is something I think they have to do to be a successful football team from a defensive standpoint. So, no, it wasn't always pretty, but that was a night they simply had to get the W, and they found a way to get the job done.
Yeah, one big thing was the pass interferences by San Fran in this. They won the penalty game and they won the turnover game, like you said, and they did win the turnover game against Tennessee earlier in the season, ended up losing that game, but Carson Wentz was, I would not even say 50%, but that one. But Carson Wentz in the month of October has 8 touchdowns to 0 interceptions. He has 11-1 on the season. I mean, Carson Wentz is a guy who people question him getting traded, and he gets lots of hate from the sports media. And, I mean, Carson Wentz has been a good quarterback for the Colts. I mean, without Carson Wentz, I do think this Colts team is 0-7. I don't see them winning a game without Wentz. He's gave that aspect of a quarterback since we haven't had since 2018 with Andrew Luck.
You know, Carson's been really good. I'm sorry to cut you off there, bud.
Oh, you're fine.
You know, Carson has been outstanding. And the way that I have phrased in previous interviews is this, is that, you know, Carson was maybe one of the biggest question marks coming in. And now through 6 or 7 weeks of the season, like, the least thing that I question is the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the offensive line is getting better. It's probably not been as good as we had thought or hoped it would be going into the season. We thought the defense would be better. Injuries clearly have played a key reason as to why that has been the case. There have been some problems in special teams, I mean, that weren't anticipated going into the year. But literally, like, that was the way that we felt about this football team in July and August. Hey, if Wentz can just be an average quarterback, this team's going to be okay. Well, right now they're an average football team. But if you ask me the most above-average position on the team so far, my answer is the guy wearing number 2.
Yeah, and then so looking at the other side of the ball on the defense, Darius Leonard, of course, has been off to a really just tremendous start to the year, even playing with kind of a nagging injury on his ankle. But, I mean, so far, 2 picks, three forced fumbles. I mean, do you think there's like a defensive player of the year, dark horse candidate for the Colts there?
You know, he is going to be in the conversation for a Pro Bowl position. I do think, and it's remarkable that he has had the impact on games that he has had, and that when you are averaging forcing a turnover a game, that rightfully gets a lot of attention. His tackle numbers are down because he simply doesn't have the range of motion that he normally does because of that ankle injury, and I'm not sure that's going to be right the entire year. You know, they've kind of got this mini bye coming up after playing the Jets next Thursday night. Then they have the very late bye, not playing on December the 12th. Maybe 2 weeks off will help that for that kind of closing stretch of the season, the last four regular season games. I don't know if he's defensive player of the year, if he's able to keep this pace up. You know, if he's got, like, say, 8 interceptions, 10 fumbles forced, you know, X amount of fumbles recovered, maybe. I think it's probably going to go in a different direction. But I do think he's under Pro Bowl consideration. And, again, knowing that he is not even close to 100%, yet he is making an impact on every game in a positive way for this Colts team defensively, just kind of further cements why the Colts gave him the, you know, largest contract currently for an inside linebacker in pro football.
Yeah, one thing is the contracts do go up as every player, as Fred Warner, who they did play last week, had $95 million, Leonard getting $98 million. I mean, it's really close, but obviously the leader for defensive player of the year is going to be Tavon Diggs, the corner for the Cowboys. I mean, he has 7 interceptions already on the season, so I think he is the front runner. But one thing from this Colts offensive line is they've improved every game. I think Chris Reed, the rookie, he stepped in for Quentin Nelson at left guard, and now he's kind of moved to right guard as Gorenski's kind of had a shaken up season as he's not as good as we expected. But this Colts offensive line has gotten better. They're starting to run the ball, and in all reality, I mean, you could look at a couple of these games at the start of the year, and they could easily be a 5-2 team, a 6-1 team, and obviously it hasn't gone that way. I mean, they have a big game against Tennessee this week. Tennessee's gotten big wins over the Bills and Chiefs of late. What do you expect this Sunday, 1 o'clock at Lucas Oil?
Well, first of all, I look at the Titans' schedule and go, man, that's a rugged schedule.
Mm-hmm.
To know that you've got to go back-to-back weeks of Bills and Chiefs, and then you have to go to your top division rival. And let's face it, this year, you know, Indy and Tennessee both knew, hey, listen, it's going to be the two of us, just because of kind of where both Houston and Jacksonville currently are in terms of being NFL franchises. So, to some degree, the fact that Titans come into this game with a cushion, where they've already won the first one and they're 2 games clear of the Colts, to some degree they are playing with house money. To me, it's almost like the law of averages seems to catch up with you in the AFC. Tennessee could be as good as any team in the AFC, and there's no lie about that, yet they're the one team that's lost to the Jets so far this year. In other words, no team has been able to maintain greatness throughout the course of this season. You know, like a lot of us thought maybe the Buffalo Bills were the best team in the AFC. Well, they've lost twice, you know, one of them being in Nashville, the other one being to a Steelers team that's really been struggling so far this year by their own lofty standards, coming back in week number one. We were all ready to crown the Baltimore Ravens as the best team in the AFC, and they just got housed by the Bengals on Sunday. And that's not exactly as bad as it maybe was a few years ago, because the Bengals, I think, are actually pretty good, but you still don't like getting beat in your own building by 24 points. In other words, I'm not sure there is a great team in the AFC. A lot of good teams in the AFC. I think the AFC is a lot deeper than the NFC, but I could see Tennessee kind of coming back to the pack a little bit. Clearly, this game has a lot more importance to the Indianapolis Colts than it does to Tennessee. At the same time, if Tennessee wins this game and they are 3 up with the tiebreaker, you can wrap it up now. They're going to be the champions of the AFC South.
And yeah, like you said, the AFC has more depth when it comes to good records, but the NFC has, let's say, the top 6 records in the league, and then obviously they're kind of fighting for that top 5 records in the AFC, in the league, I should say. But one point is that I've seen in the AFC, like you said, the Bengals got a big one, and they're tied for number 1 in the AFC. Who do you think is going to be the AFC champion after watching? I know they're all kind of in the middle of the pack. Is there any team that you think is going to come out as a clear favorite after the season commences?
Well, clearly, because we're in Indianapolis, the answer is the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they're going to go on a 13-0 run. You know, you get what I'm saying here. It's a great question. I still think at the end of the day, I think the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the AFC. Again, it took kind of a strange call, but a call that didn't go right for the Bills, for them to lose in Nashville. I think from a talent standpoint, I think Buffalo is the best team. But again, I also think that, you know, from 1 through 10, there are some pretty solid football teams in the AFC. So hard to pick a favorite right now, and it could be just kind of who matches up with whom. And obviously by the time we get to mid-January, who is the team that can avoid the catastrophic loss from an injury standpoint? You know, who is the healthiest team going into the playoffs? Could determine who's going to be the AFC champ. You maybe pick one team, I'd probably still stick with Buffalo.
Yeah, and then looking on the other side of the league, like Jackson was saying, I mean, most of the best records in the leagues do belong to the NFC. I mean, of course, the Cardinals being the only undefeated team left, do you have an idea on which one of those teams could make it to the Super Bowl and play the AFC champ?
You know, I think Arizona's the best team. I think the Rams are not too far behind them. We're going to learn a lot more about Arizona playing the Packers on Thursday night. Now, again, Packers dealing with some COVID issues. Not sure if we'll see Davante Adams or what else that could mean, you know, for the game coming up in just a couple of nights. But just because the Colts have played a lot of 1 o'clock games, I have ended up, while on the air doing the postgame show, kind of seeing the Cardinals on a monitor or tracking their games. What they are doing offensively is staggering right now. I mean, the league has not caught up yet to how do you slow down that offense that takes you from sideline to sideline with Kyler Murray and several other speed demons around him, both in the backfield and at wide receiver. I love how creative they are being with former Purdue Boilermaker Rondale Moore, a second-round pick that they had this past year. So I'll go with the obvious right now in terms of the team that's unbeaten. I think Arizona's got something special going.
Yeah, Arizona, I mean, Rondale Moore's the guy I thought the Colts could target. I mean, he's a speedster, and that's one thing this Colts offense has been lacking. But the Colts have really suffered lots of injuries in their secondary. Julian Blackman of late having an Achilles injury that's going to hold him out for the rest of the year. And, I mean, safety is one position that has been kind of a struggle some for the Colts as we really wrap this up for about the Colts is, I mean, just what do you think the Colts can do defensively to kind of help their secondary that's kind of been lackluster this season?
It's a good question because there's not many great players available at this late stage of the season. And I'm not sure there are that many guys that are going to be traded that could help you. You know, every team pretty much has their hands on 65, 70 players at this point. You know, an active roster is between 53 and 55. Practice squads go between 10 and 15 players. And so you multiply 70 by 32, you know, now we're talking about, you know, over 2,000 players in the National Football League. You are getting way down the depth chart if you're trying to find somebody that's available at safety or cornerback that can help you. The cornerback position, it's about simply getting guys healthy. Xavier Rhodes, much like Darius Leonard, has been playing hurt the entirety of the season. Rocky Sin with an ankle injury, who had been playing better, has not played now over the course of the last 3 weeks. You know, T.J. Carey, that is hopefully off the injured reserve at some point in time in the next week or two. All of those are guys that can help. Now, that's cornerback. Safety is a different argument because there is not a guy available both on their roster or on somebody else's roster like Julian Blackman who can spell what he did for this defense during the first 6 weeks of the season. Popped his Achilles in practice last Wednesday and is done for the year. Cornerback, in theory, you've got some guys coming back that can help you. Safety, you just got to piece it together because you're not going to find a player as good as Julian Blackman.
Yeah, Blackman has really just taken that sophomore leap. But we know, Greg, you do have a big day coming at you as you are feeling for JMV, so we're going to let you off here. Thanks for joining us on the Sports Spotlight.
You got it, buddy. Anytime. Thanks for the time, fellas.
All right, thanks, Greg.